Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church, Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
If these people kept quiet, these jubilant crowds, these throngs of people with their palm branches, with their cloaks strewn out on the ground before Christ, if these people keep quiet, even the stones will cry out. Stones or rocks are very important in the Bible, a wonderful metaphor, yes, but also a literal part of the way people have been worshiping God for millennia. Stones used and placed together as an altar, as a way to mark a very sacred spot. You know, when an altar didn't look like this, like wood, like a table, but looked more like a flat rock or a large rock or a pile of rocks put together. And the people of Israel would worship God by lifting a sacrifice on that rock, by sacrificing an animal, or by sacrificing oil and food, grain, and pouring oil over the rock. Back long before there was a temple, people worshiped God by pouring oil on a rock, or just by saying, "This is the presence of the Lord," and marking that place. We remember the story of Jacob when he has this powerful dream of a ladder and people ascending, angels ascending and descending from heaven. He awakens and he says, "I've been in the presence of God in this place." And then he takes a rock and he somehow props it up in this place, makes a marker, a spot. "This was the presence of the Lord in this place. Surely God's presence is here, and so I place this rock to acknowledge that, to worship God in this place, to tell future generations that the Lord is here, has been here." And that rock cries out for the people, God's glory, God's presence, God's praise, that the Lord is among us, that God is with us, because this rock has been placed. And so even after Jacob is gone and his descendants are gone, we imagine this rock proclaiming, long after they have been silenced, long after they have passed, they proclaim the presence of God in this place. Just a rock crying out, praise to God, God has been here. Or we think of the rock that Moses strikes in the wilderness and the water comes from the rock. And we remember this is a story of God's provision, of God caring for the people of Israel in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of the wilderness, and providing from a rock, from something lifeless that should not be able to give water, let alone give life and hope to a people lost in the wilderness, giving blessing, giving promise, giving beauty, crying out, pouring out, literally pouring out God's blessing for the people from a rock. And so even after the people were silent, the rock itself reminded us, reminded future generations of God's provision for the people in the desert. Or we remember the way in which people might stack rocks much more recently to help guide the way, a pillar of rocks or a cairn in a hiking trail to provide for one another, to mark the trail, to let us know which way to go. And we think of that when we think of how the Bible tells us that God is our rock, our fortress, our protector, our strong place to stand, our guide, our provision, our rock. It means so many things. And the rocks cry out to us just as they cry out to travelers, to wanderers, to hikers. Here is safety. Here is provision. Here is food. Here is comfort. Here is the surety of knowing that you are on the right path. God, who is our rock, cries out to us and says, here is safety. Here is strength. Here is provision. Here is abundance. Here is hope. And here am I. And if you are following me, you know that you are on the right path. And so even when there's no one else on the trail, and even when there is nothing else to tell us, and our voices are silent, the rock who is our God cries out to us, you are safe, you are blessed, you are provided for, you are protected. I am your rock. We think of the temple and of the stones that remain, all that remain to this day of the temple that stood in Jesus' time, the one wall of the temple, and how the people of the Jewish faith still come to that place to worship and place their prayers between the stones in the wall as an act of prayer. Or we think of, in another multi-faith example, we think of our sisters and brothers in the Muslim faith who come to either the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem or the Kaaba, which is a large rock in Mecca, and lift their prayers at a rock as well as a sign of God's presence in their culture, in their context. And we remember and we know that God, no matter who we are, no matter how we understand that, that this truth speaks across many peoples, across many faiths, across many, many cultures, that God is our rock. And we know the wonderful children's song that I always sang at camp, that Jesus is the rock, and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shoo, bop, bop, shoo. But we know that Christ comes to do all of those things, to show the way, to guide, to protect, to sustain, and to teach us to cry out God's praise. And so as the disciples and the throngs are shouting their praises to God, and the Pharisees are telling Jesus to put a lid on it and calm them down and shut them up, Jesus says no. Even if they were silent, the rocks would cry out, because the rock has always been crying out to us. God, who is our rock, has always been calling out to us and saying, I am your protection, your strength, your provision, your blessing, your abundance. I am the foundation that you can stand upon. And then Christ turns to Peter, who wasn't called Peter, but was called Simon, but he changes his name to Peter because Peter means rocky. Really? It's like a nickname for the word rock. He turns to Peter and he says, you shall be the rock on which I build my church. And the church itself, built on a rock, becomes as a sign to the world and cries out to the world God's presence, God's provision, hope and abundance and blessing and protection, that God is present here. Our temples look different, our altars look different, our buildings look different, but we are still as a rock in that first place where Jacob placed a stone and said, surely God's presence is here in this place, and so I place a stone here to remind us of that. The church itself is placed to say, surely God's presence is here, yes, even on Main Street in Montpelier, right here, and we place ourselves as a rock to cry out with our voices, but even when our voices are silenced, to cry out with our very presence, with all of creation, that God is among us, among the people, that God is here, and that God provides for us, cares for us, protects us, and sustains us. The rock cries out. But rocks cry out in other ways too. We do something else very prominent with stone, with rock, and that is that we memorialize. We stand a stone or a monument at a place of a battle, at a place where people have fallen, and we place stone above those who have passed away in testimony to them, in remembrance of them, and in a way to speak for them now that their voices are gone. We even inscribe sometimes upon that stone a word or a line or a phrase that embodies that person, that loved one, a verse from the Bible of faith and of hope that they embodied and that they now have entered into as a testimony, an ongoing testimony, though their voice is now silent, that they are with God and that we bear witness to them. And so sometimes rocks cry out for those who cannot speak. We think of the earth crying out with the blood of Abel after he was killed by his brother. And we have that story that reminds us that the earth cries out for injustice in the places where we have failed as a people to live as God commands us, to live with even the most basic human love and compassion. And so rocks cry out on behalf of the dead. Rocks cry out on behalf of those who are silenced, Rocks cry out from the places where we want and need to see the presence of God, but where we may not see it yet. When we are silent, the rocks will still cry out. Who are those who are silenced, who cannot cry out for themselves? Those who have passed away, yes. Those who are yet to be. Future generations who need an earth and a sustainable place to be and to live. They cry out. They cannot cry out for themselves, and so the rocks cry out for them. People who live in oppression, people who live in poverty, people who live with abuse, people who live in despair, people who live in fear, people who live on the margins of our society, those we have pushed to the side and disenfranchised and silenced their voices, intentionally or unintentionally. Their voices are silenced, but yet the rocks cry out. Even if we keep quiet, the rocks will cry out. They may not yet be able to cry, Hosanna, and so they will cry out, Justice, mercy, compassion, O God, hear us. O Christ, our rock, deliver us. But even when we are silent, even when they are silent, the rocks will cry out. They will cry out for God. We have some smaller rocks. You don't need to, don't take the big pretty ones that are part of the worship display. But we have some smaller rocks on the table and in this basket. I didn't hand them out at the beginning of the service because I thought you might be tempted to use them should I start to preach too long. We don't need that. These are not pretty polished pond stones. In fact, they're not all of them even that clean, although I did wash them. They have some dirt on them. They have some rough, many, many rough places in them. They're not pretty, perhaps. They are rough hewn like us. They are broken in places like us and like our world. They have sharp points and rough points and places where we see a need for something. And I invite you to take a rock as we close our service. And it may need to be cleaned up a bit. And it may certainly be rough around the edges. But I invite you to take a rock and to let it call out to you. To carry it with you this week, and for those of you who come on Good Friday, you can bring it back. We will be using some rocks then, but if you forget it, don't worry, we'll have more. Rocks are pretty easy to come by, or if you don't want to part with it, we have more. But you can certainly bring it back on Good Friday, but I invite you to take a rock in all its roughness, in all its imperfection, in all its need, like our need for grace, and to carry it with you and to let it cry out. Where have our voices of praise and hosanna been silenced? May the rock remind us to sing our praises, our hosannas, to proclaim God's presence here with God's people. Where have we encountered those who are silenced? Where have we failed to cry out on their behalf? May the rock remind us that they too have a voice. And that voice must be heard. And if that voice is disenfranchised or silenced or squashed by fear, by hatred, by greed, by oppression, by violence, may we become as a rock to them. May we lift our voices and cry out for mercy, for justice, for peace, for God's presence here with God's people as it has always been. And may the rock remind us that God, who is our fortress, that Christ, who is our rock, is here. Wherever we have laid our heads, wherever we have lived and served, wherever we travel, that we wave our palm branches and sing our hosannas, or if we pour out our tears and our grief, that the rock is with us. Where Do the stones call you to cry out your praise? Where do the stones of those who have been silenced, do the stones call us to cry out that they may one day shout praise? We know to whom the rocks cry out. The rocks cry out to us that God is here. The rocks cry out to God, we need you here. For whom and with whom will we sing our hosannas? For whom and with whom will we cry out for God's mercy? May you walk this journey in the presence of Christ, who is our rock, and in the presence of all of those who sing hosannas and cry out in pain and in grief, that we may together rejoice in the presence of God, who is our rock, our ever-present hope and salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen.